This goes along with where I believe we are as a church, and some of you are individually, and it's this thing about change, about facing changes in life. I wouldn't mind change, honestly, if I could always be in control of it. You know? That's one thing. I was like, if I could just always be in control of it, I wouldn't mind change so much. And then I wouldn't mind change so much if it wasn't so much uncertainty around it. Is there anybody with me on that? It's those kind of things that make me really anxious sometimes when change comes. And so the reality is that this room is full of people who are in the midst of change. Everywhere you go, everybody you talk to, everyone is in the midst of change. And so then the question that we're asking in this series is, does God have anything to say about that? You know, in God's word, does he have any instructions for us when we get to those times? And I've been listening to a pastor for some years now. His name's Pete Scazzaro, and he talks about some of the most practical things. And I wrestled even tackling some of these practical things because I'm like, people may not think they're spiritual enough. But it's the places where we live. It's the things that are going on in our life. And so one of the things that he drew my attention to in the Word is that when change occurs, there's usually three things that are taking place. Three things. There's an end to something. Ooh. Every time something changes, if you look around, something ended. Or something's getting ready to end. There's an end coming. And then there's that thing, that in-between moment. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's that chaotic in-between. It's that uncertainty of that in-between of I know that this is gone, but I have no idea what's next. And so it's uncertain. And then there's that new beginning that's over here. It's this new thing. It's like that song that we sang. There's resurrection. God is resurrecting something. And I'll assure you today that God always brings resurrection to an end. I want to be just as emphatic about that as I can possibly be. And you, some of you may be sitting there saying, are you sure every time? And I would say, yes. Everywhere there is an end, God has a beginning. Everywhere one door closes, God opens up something else. So there is. The question is, can we get there without doing something stupid, right? Yeah. So I was thinking about the number of changes that go through life. And we've let out most of our elementary people. And so our middle schoolers are about the ones that are left. You are probably our youngest ones. And so, you know, in middle school, you're the top dog before you leave to go to high school. And then all of a sudden, the big fish becomes the little tiny fish. And there's all of this stuff that's changing. And so there's this thing where we're in where we move from being a child to being an adult. And then there's that crazy, weird thing in between that we created a name for it, teenagers. Right? And so, young people, it can be uncertain at times. You know that you're not a kid anymore, but you don't necessarily feel like an adult all the time. And so there you are. And then you leave high school just when you got that all figured out. You leave high school and you're ready for college, right, Britton? Going to the Citadel soon. And so you got to take on those new things. I personally loved college because of this one thing called a syllabus. My son said, Dad, what's a syllabus? I said, it's the most beautiful thing ever created. It tells you where to be and when to be there. It tells you what to do before you get there, what to have already prepared when you get there. It even tells you when the tests are coming. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Because, see, I had an end of college, and I graduated, by the way, okay? So I just want to let you know. All right, I graduated. But you had this end, and then I got into this other thing, and I found out that in life, you take tests, but you don't know you're taking them. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? That it's only till after you took it and failed it, or you took it and you just scraped by, that you look back and you go, well, I'll be doggone. That was a test. I never even saw that coming. And literally, from college to being this, you know, working adult, it took me about 2 years really to adjust to that end and this new beginning. And in the midst of that, I threw in getting married. And in the midst of that, we threw into quitting our jobs and moving to Columbia for me to start work there. And then there was this end that I couldn't even anticipate. The vice president of the company walked into my office and he shut the door, and I realized that door's never been shut. I don't think this is good. And he said, "Kevin, I'm sorry to tell you, the company is bankrupt. We're filing for bankruptcy and we're closing." I said, "How soon?" He said, "Thursday." It was Tuesday. And then there we were. Some of you have experienced these changes of life. When we talk about marriage, some of you have experienced divorce, this great end to things, and this, what's next? Where do we go from here? What is it like with our kids? Some of you are now in this phase of your life where you were a child, and now you are helping to take care of aging parents. And that's an end in this weird new beginning of how do you navigate those waters. Most of us started out with some friends, and you don't have them all, do you? If you've lived long enough, you don't have all your friends. Some maybe passed away in death. Some maybe there was something happened. You just grew apart. Maybe there was this unreconcilable difference, a fight or something, but there was an end to these friendships along the way. Then for many of you, you came to Christ, and I love what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says that we become this new creature. New. And it says that the old has passed away. That all things are being made new. That almost would lead you to believe that as soon as there is an end, there's an immediate beginning. Not so. What's sort of missing in the verse is that you're going to spend the rest of your life actually walking out what it means to be this new creature. That there's going to be some uncertainty as to what that means now that Christ lives in me, the hope of glory. What does that mean? And what does that mean in life? You see, that's what Kim was working out as she tells her story. She's working out that Christ is in her, but as she walks through different obstacles and tragedies in life, how do I navigate that? And then some of you, I've even heard it this week, some of the things that you were doing, those places that you would go, those things that you would do, and God would meet you there. Oh, all of a sudden you wake up and you go to that place and He doesn't seem like He's there. Or you used to do this thing this way all the time and it worked. And you could connect with God. And then all of a sudden you try it and it doesn't work anymore. Is there anybody ever experienced that? Amen. You may be afraid to say that it's so, but I want to bring some light to it, because the reason is, what God is saying is, I don't want to interact with you on that level forever. I don't want us to just hang out there forever. And you would stay there forever. You would be like Peter. You'd be able to tabernacle there if you could. And you'd never leave it. But what I'm going to cause an end to it. There'll be some uncertainty so that we can move into something more. And so all of that is in the room today. Did you realize that? Every single thing. That's why I went to the trouble of telling all of those things, is because we're all in the room today. All of those things. So then, what is it that we're to do? And how is it that we're to navigate these ends and these crazy uncertain middles and these new beginnings? I want you to turn to John chapter 14. This for me is one of those verses, portions of Scripture that it captivates me. I can't get far. It seems like God keeps bringing this Scripture over and over again. So if you've heard me talk on this before, you're actually going to hear me talk on it again. Listen to these words wherever you are in the process. And here's the thing, you're in a bunch of them at the same time. That in some places you're probably facing an end. Some places you're in an uncertain middle, and another place God's birthing something new. That's just life. Listen to what Jesus says to His disciples when He's about to leave them. He says in verse 1, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and I'll receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. And in verse 5, Thomas speaks up. And I'm so glad he did. Listen to what he says. Lord, we don't know where you are going. How do we know the way? Do you hear that? That's an end. Jesus says, fellas, an end is coming. I'm leaving. And Thomas is the one that stands up and speaks, I believe, for the group. And he speaks for us. And he says, I don't really want you to go. Because I've grown really fond of you. And these last 3 years, Jesus, you have brought me in. And you have taught me things. And you've given me life. You have forever changed me. I don't know where you're going. And I don't know what this looked like. Do you see where it's like the end and then all of this uncertainty hits him and he's like, if it was me, I'd be like, no, I don't want you to go. I just feel like I got to know you in these last 3 years. Now listen to what he says. Because the question that Thomas said to them, we don't know where you're going. Jesus said to him, I am the way. Do you hear that? Thomas says, I don't know the way. Jesus says, because you're not looking at the right thing. I'm the way. I'm the truth. And I'm the life. So I will tell you, no matter what you are going through, if you are saying, I don't know the way, I would say, that's okay. Look to Jesus. He's the way. He's the truth. And He's the life. And so they went through this thing. Picture this in your mind. These disciples are walking with Jesus, and one day he dies. And for 3 days, it's that song that we sang just a few moments ago. It said, he barred a tomb for 3 days. But can you imagine if you're a disciple in those 3 days? What is happening? What are we doing here? We've had some instructions, but will they hold up under the pressure of that uncertainty? That's always the question, right? Will the Word of God hold up under this difficult moment? 3 days probably seemed like eternity. But then resurrection came and new life. And they're like, woo, he's back. Yes. And then they found out, but I'm not staying. And they're like, man, we're right back where we started. And so he says, I'm leaving again. I'm like, man, we don't even know how to deal with this guy that can just pop in here and there. You know, we hadn't even figured that out yet. And you're leaving again. Look over to Acts chapter 1. What happens? I got to hurry. In Acts chapter 1, these are the final accounts of Jesus. And in verse 3, it says that he was with them for a period of 40 days, speaking to them the things concerning the kingdom. Now listen to verse 4. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem. Because when some people face change, the first thing they want to do is run. Is bolt. I got to get out of here. This is uncomfortable. And Jesus looks at that person, if you're in the room, that wants to run every time something gets tough. You want to bolt. Jesus, I believe, would say to you, don't leave. Keep your seat. Do not leave Jerusalem. But what? Wait. Wait for what the Father has promised. And then he tells them the promise in verse 8. He says, but you'll be filled, you'll receive power from the Holy Spirit. When he's come upon you, you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the remotest parts of the earth. That's the new beginning. But between Jesus, leaving and resurrecting to heaven and Pentecost, there's this period, if you do the math, of about 9 or 10 days there. Where what are we doing? There's been an end. There's this weird middle and we're waiting again. And we got to do what God says. Stay right there. Don't run. Wait. And hang out there together. That's important. Stay there together until this new thing comes. So, ends. What are they? It's when you're leaving something. There's a new season in your life. And the last thing you want to do is let go. Right? That's the problem with the end, is that you don't want to let it go. In fact, Pete Scazzaro, he says, it's almost at times like you're sitting or standing on melting ice. And you know it's just a matter of time before that thing's going to give way. And you're going to collapse under it. But you're so scared that you can't move. Because you don't know what's next. So you try to hold on to that season of life. You try to hold on to whatever it is that you're familiar with. You try to hold on to that person. That's the problem in the ending. If we do it wrong, it's because we hold on. Now, sometimes it's not melting ice. Sometimes the doggone rug just gets pulled out from under you. Have you experienced that? Sometimes there's not a slow melt. One day you wake up and everything changed. One moment you got a phone call and everything changed. You lost a loved one. You lost a job, whatever it may be. And so then what do you do in those seasons of end? You take your hands off of them and you let it go. That's the only way. The only way to get past something that is ending is to take your hands off of it. Let that child grow up. Let that memory go. Not in the sense of that you can't remember it anymore, but face the fact that it's gone. I had a meeting this past week with a dear friend of mine. He's a pastor. His wife had Alzheimer's, lived 9 years under it. Most beautiful care I've ever seen in my life. And I sat down with this pastor, Don Edwards, and I said, "Don, talk to me about loss. I want you to tell me what you learned when you lost Pete, your wife." And he said, "Kevin, I learned that the hardest part about an ending like that is just accepting that she's gone. It's the hardest part. It's just accepting that she's gone." And he said, "You know, I think that all endings in life are like that. We want to hold on, but we can't. And the more we hold on, the sicker we get, the harder we make it on ourselves." He said, "So I have to embrace letting it go so that I can grieve." That's something we don't talk about in church very much, right? We don't like grieving. We just want to move on from something. And he said, "If I could tell anybody this," he would say, "when you take your hands off it, you have to allow yourself to grieve. You have to allow yourself to feel it in order that God can birth that new thing in your life." So I would tell you that if you're at an end in any place in your life, that old way of doing things just isn't working. There might be somebody in the room and you've been doing this thing without Christ. That ice is melting. Get off. Take your hands off of your life and trust Him that He's got something new for you. And then there's that uncertainty where you don't know what to do. You've never been that way before. That's when, if I can say it, all the little demons come out. Isn't it? Right there in that uncertain time is when they start talking. And they start bringing up all these doubts and fears and insecurities and things you haven't even thought of. Right? You ever been laying there asleep and the devil helps you think about something? Yeah? Like, "You wasn't even considering it." And he said, "Well, have you considered how bad this might be?" And you're like, "Well, no, I haven't. But I'll spend the rest of the night on it." Or we resort to dealing with it the way somebody else did it. You know, my parents are here, so I'm not speaking of you guys, okay? This is not about my parents in the room, okay? But let's just say mama ran from trouble. There's probably a tendency in you to run too. Because that's how you saw it done. That's how you think it's supposed to be. You may have scripture, and you might quote it to yourself. But at the end of the day, there's something that pulls us, and mama can be real strong. Or maybe it's daddy, which is, daddy just couldn't accept any end to anything. So dad held on to everything. And the tendency is to not let go of anything. And so you not only need to know if you know the Word of God, you may need to look back and see what mama and daddy and grandma did and see if actually what you're following is them and not Jesus. So what we do is critical right there. We can refuse to let go and we will get stuck. Or we can rush in and we will make it 10 times worse, right? There's probably some amens right there of those of us who have rushed in and tried to do things. But there's an in-between, and it often takes longer than we think it should. The disciples had to wait on Jesus 3 days to resurrect. They were in a period of 40 days or so, 50 days from Passover to Pentecost, where they're waiting for this new thing, the Holy Spirit, to come. Paul, when he gets converted, spends 3 years in the desert. Joshua wanders around in the wilderness 40, not because of his problem. And now most of us are in the room going, oh dear Lord, please don't let us be the Joshua. Please let it be 3 days, right? But the thing to do in the middle, in the in-between, is that you have to wait on God. What does it say in Acts chapter 1, verse 4? Wait. Wait and pray. Hear from God. And I would say this as many times as I can possibly say it. You don't always have to do something. Did you hear me? The situation doesn't always require an immediate reaction or action. Just wait. I would say, and I tell people this all the time, they're like, what do I do? What am I supposed to do? And I will ask them, should you do anything? And they're like, oh, I never considered that nothing was an option. Right? Because we live in America, man, we're going to fix some stuff. And so when something goes wrong, if something ends, we're going to move right into something else. And people come to me all the time, they're like, what should I do? What should I do? And the first thing I do is, well, should you do anything? Oh, you mean I can just sit here? I recommend that you do until you've heard from God. Until you have instructions from God, I recommend you wait there. Because I don't know if you do anything else if you might not make it worse. So just wait and just pray and hear from God and realize that sometimes in the waiting it takes a little longer than we think it should. And then that resurrection, that morning that Jesus arose, wow. That moment when the Holy Spirit comes down and acts and fills the people of God. That's what we've been waiting for. Do you realize that right there in the waiting in that resurrection, that's where the church was born. The church was born out of that death of Jesus Christ. Do you see it? Without His death, there could be no resurrection, no rebirth, no coming of the church. This thing that has blessed so many of us. That's the gift. But something had to die, somebody had to wait, and then something new had to be birthed. New ministries are born out of what Kim has walked through. This ministry of counseling is going to be birthed out of that. We've watched it here where something would die and something would be rebirthed again. God doesn't waste your hurts. Do you know that? All the stuff you've been through that you might be saying, that feels like a waste. I say, oh no. God doesn't waste any of those things. He'll birth something out of them if you'll wait and allow Him to. But then there's some things that we ought to talk about in these new beginnings. They messy. Did you hear that? They are not nearly as glorious as they might seem. Chris and I were going to the hospital. Chris Eifert, our worship leader, is going to the hospital. We were going to make a visit, and I'm checking in on him because he's new here on staff, and I'm like, I want to know what his thoughts were of ministry before he got here, and now that the grim reality of ministry has struck. And I'm like, what did you think it was going to be like compared to what it is? And he said, whew, there's a lot of stuff going on all the time. And I said, yeah. And I said, here's the thing. Around here, if you don't know it, we tend to not do things over and over again. We're just not good at it. That's one of them. You got to know your limitations. You know, for whatever reason, Ember has this little thing and I feel it ticking in my head. Once we've done it about 3 or 4 times, we just lose our heart for it. You know, Ember's more of this place where we need to hear this word from God, this new thing, and we need to kind of walk in that, you know? And so I told Chris, I said, here's the problem with doing something new. I know why people have a dinner and they do it all the same way for about 1,000 years. I know why they do it. Because Martha's bringing forks, right? Kathy's got that green bean casserole. So-and-so's bringing something. Leave that alone. She can't cook. Bless her heart. You know? This is how we put the tables up. This is where they go. You know that, right? That's why we love to do the same thing the same way all the time. When you start into something new, can I tell you, you're going to have to figure some stuff out. When you venture into a new realm, when you accept Jesus Christ for the first time, you're going to have to figure it out. You're not going to get it all right. When you begin to move with God, you're not going to always get it all right. I don't even think you have to. Can I just take the pressure off for just a moment and go back to what I preached the other week, which is this. You shouldn't be so concerned as to, are you always getting the will of God right? Because sometimes you're going to think you are and you're not. The thing you need to watch over, the thing you need to guard is this. Do I want to follow God? Do I want to do His will? And if I want to, then I might mess some stuff up along the way. And Jesus is so good. He says, it's okay. We'll fix it together. So know that even in those new beginnings, that there's some times that it gets a little messy. So I want to end with this. I am excited for wherever you are in the journey. Because God always brings resurrection. So something good's coming. Something's going to be birthed out of it. I just pray that God has given you the tools today so that you know what to do. If something is ending, what are we going to do? We got to let it go. So today, you may need just a little bit of time before you walk out of here to just make sure that you took your hands off of it. All right? That's your assignment. If you're in an end, you need to take your hands off of it. And then be conscious, because I've taken my hands off of it, and in about 3 hours later, I run back and pick it up. So if you're in the end, take your hands off and let it in, let it die. And then if you're in that middle, just wait. It's okay to do nothing until God's spoken, until something rises up in your heart. I would say, if you have instructions for what to do next, then do it. Don't delay on that. Did you hear me? When God gives you something to do, there's only one time to do it, and that's now. Unless He said, that ain't for right now, okay? Do you see how difficult this can be sometimes? You cannot do it without an active relationship with Jesus Christ. I cannot give you a rule for this. It is lived out in relationship. So if you have instructions, do them. Otherwise, follow your heart. You say, ooh, we can't trust that. Ooh, yes you can. You're like, ooh, no, Isaiah says that the heart is deceitfully wicked. And I would say, yes, but I live in the New Testament where the Spirit of God has been poured out, that He's written His words on our heart. Now, if I pursue Him, this thing called my heart, I actually can trust it to be lined up with God, and He'll show me where to go. That's a good word. You just got moved up to the New Testament. Congratulations. You've been promoted. And then these new beginnings. Man, I believe that some of you are there. And I want to tell you to go for it. Just go for it. What if you fail? Well, doggone it, what if you succeed? You know? Even if you fail, you know what Jesus would call that? He said, that's just instruction, son. Keep going. Right? The world says you failed. Jesus says, it's fine. That's just instruction for me to get you where you need to be. So I want to tell you to go for it. One last thing. This is 2018. A lot of what has gone on in the Church of America looks just like it did in 1999. Which looks a lot like it looked in 1899. And that worked for a while, but the world has changed so much that I believe some of us are going to have to take almost everything we know about church, get our hands off of it, and let it die. Now that might sound scary, but I'll tell you this, and this may help some of you who just got really afraid of me right now. The message never changes. The truth of God remains the same. If you ask me to define church, or you asked anybody at Ember or another pastor to define church, we would call it this called out body. We call it these sent ones. We would call it the body of Christ, the family of God, all of that. But somehow what we define as church doesn't happen when we practice it. So I will say to you that there's been a problem. It's not that our definition was wrong. Our practice has been wrong. And some of us don't know anything else but that. So we're going to hold on to that as long as we can. And we'll die with that ship. It's like the Titanic. Get off! I want to encourage some of you that I believe God is calling in you. He's stirring something inside of you. And that you have the answer for a problem in 2018. And it doesn't look like it did in 1999 or 1899. And I want to tell you, go for it. And a part of that model was you couldn't do anything until the church, the pastor blessed it and laid his hands on it and put some oil on it. You know, you had to go up and ask the pastor for permission to do everything. I want everybody listening real clear right now. You need to go on and do it. You need to go on and step into that thing. And you don't need my permission, okay? Now, if there are places where you want my advice or those kind of things, you know, oh, sure, absolutely. But there are things that are in your heart, and you can't keep running to me for yeses and no. You're going to have to hear the Spirit of God clearly enough for yourself to be able to move into that thing that God's calling you to do. And you say, well, what if you mess it up? Or what if I mess it up, Kevin? What if I mess it up? I'll say as best I can. You know my policy around here. I'll get down with you and help you clean it up. But I'm going to get down with you and clean it up. You don't have permission to make a mess you ain't going to clean up. All right? But go for it. This is, man, this is, I watched Braveheart the other day, y'all. I was going to preach on Braveheart until all my notes got deleted. I think that was God's way of saying, Kevin, don't preach on Braveheart. But I will tell you this, and my wife said it last week. She said, you know, when God is moving, we sometimes default to this thing that we get real somber when God is moving. You know what? I plan to kill that devil today. Because when God is moving, that means something new is coming. We ought to be the most optimistic, most excited, most encouraged people. So go after it. Wherever you are in the work of the business world, go after it. We've run a little late. Praise team, I want you to come. If you need to go, you certainly have permission as we start this song. I want y'all to sing that resurrecting, all right? Because I believe that God is resurrecting some stuff. Wherever you are in the process, in the end, let it go. In the middle, wait and pray. If you see what you need to do, walk it out. If you're tired of living your life without Christ, come on down here and let's become a new creature. If you're tired of giving 2% effort, you're ready to give 100%, you're ready to go all in, whatever the world that means, let's do it.